in that driveway tomorrow morning, there better be something parked that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. So the next day, she gets up and there's this package there, and she goes and opens it, and it's a bathroom scale. And they haven't found her husband since, just so you know. Just want you to know that was not in my notes. But I just read that yesterday and it tickled me. 0 to 206 seconds. Get off, get off. So we've been talking about revisiting the familiar. The whole thought process is we read the Bible, or we know the stories of the Bible, even if we don't read the Bible, and there's some that are real familiar to us, and those are the ones that I'm wanting to visit. And here's one today that we've visited a million times, and we know this story forever. And here we go with it. I don't want the pictures. I want the word. Thank you. Just the word. No. Yay. Here we go. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. And such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, and then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the footpath, and the birds came and ate them up. And some fell on the rocky places where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still others fell on good soil and were produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And then we would go from there and start hammering how horrible you people are. This is true. You know, here's the levels of how bad we are. And here's what I want you to see. And just so you know, here's what I've learned in this. This is my third week of this, revisiting the familiar. What I've decided to do is revisit the familiar, and I just sit there with it until I get something new. You get what I'm saying? I just sit there with it until I get a fresh word from the Lord. Do you know you can do that no matter, even with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll sit there with it for a while, you're going to get something from it. So that's what I did with this. And here's what I came with. I want you to notice that the seed is the same. It's the soil that has the problem. Okay? And I say that, how many times have I told you, half of the gospel, half of the good news is how bad we are. Because until we recognize how bad we are, we don't recognize the need for the Savior. We think we can do it on our own. So I want you to see it again. The seed is perfect. It's the soil that's the problem. And the seed, and Jesus said it, and we'll get there in a second. The seed is the gospel, and the soil is the sinner. Okay? And the seed is the message. It's the good news about Jesus. Here's scripture for this. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus and of the love that you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring forth from hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, euangelion, which means good news, the message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You need to grab that right there where it says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. The whole world, whether we like it or not, whether we want it to happen or not. The gospel of Jesus, the greatness of who he is and what he did on the cross, is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. Why am I so into that? Because there's one thing about this story that struck me odd in this when I was studying it this week. This parable gives the impression that God isn't concerned about which soil that his seed takes root in. The seed landed on every soil with no judgment and no prejudice. It just landed. And if you know, back in the day, you know, now, by the way, America, we give more food than anybody else does in the whole world. And we have all the equipment now and all the farmers that are greatness and tools. They didn't have those tools back then. Farmers back then, they just throw it. They just throw seed. Just praying something would stick. Now watch. So the footpath and the rocky and the thorny soil all get a shot at this thing called the seed. And the question is why? Well, I got to thinking about that. Why would a farmer plant corn in a rock-filled yard? Gay and I have been to Portugal. And for those of you who haven't been to Portugal, it's kind of a weird place to be, but we were actually on a cruise ship. So part of it was taking us to Portugal. And we drove up the sides of these mountains. And listen, I'm talking about there was farmers on sheer cliffs with 5 feet growing corn in rocky, nasty, thorny soil. And if they tripped, they would die because they would fall over. We got to the top of this thing, and they had this real thick glass thing that you walked out on, and you could look down and see the bottom of you know how you get that little queasy, weak thing? So you almost want to, like, crawl out there? You know, and I'm trying to man up, right, because the locals are just walking. I'm walking out there, and I'm like, you just feel like you're going to fall through. But it was just amazing. Nasty soil. So my thought was, why would a farmer plant this in this horrible place? But here's what happens. If he wanted a crop, he has to scatter the seed in the land that he has. Do you not get it? For God does so love the world that he's going to scatter. Because believe it or not, even in the worst of worst soil, growth can happen. Isaiah, Old Testament. My thoughts are not always your thoughts, says the Lord. Do you know that's right, right? Holy smoke. There's the greatest, one of the greatest sayings right there. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine, and let me add, or understand. Right? And for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and his thoughts are better than my thoughts, and he kind of knows what he's doing, and I kind of don't. I added all that. Verse 10, the rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth, and they cause the grain to grow, producing the seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. We all know that. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it, and you will live in joy and peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Why? Because his seed is powerful and has nothing to do with my ability to spread it. Look at it as it keeps going, though. This gets gooder. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees are going to grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. So the farmer, Jesus uses the parable, goes out and scatters his seed. This right here is the power of God's seed, his word, the power of the gospel. You see, God scatters seed everywhere because it has power to take root in the harshest of grounds. And once it takes root, it can bear fruit, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not. I can't tell you the times in my past where some little young buck all tattooed up and hair spiked up just come to know Jesus for 15 minutes and is prophesying a word to me that's making me bawl my guts out. I had a kid here at this church years ago, brand new to the Lord. Had a Charles Slagle, for those of you who remember him, just a prophet friend of mine. This kid was, I mean, he just basically came to know the Lord in the middle of this thing. And he's just... Charles says, I want you to come pray over me. And he starts praying over me. And he says, God, whatever shit is on this man, I just pray that you, oh, my Lord. I'm bawling like a baby. Not because he said that, which, by the way, we had people leave the church because this young man said that word. Actually, praying said that word. And I just said that word instead of saying I said the S word. I just said that word. So if you're offended, just knock yourself out. Let me turn my back. Go ahead and leave. All right. No, listen, that kid spoke life into me. Raw words or not, he spoke life into me. But we did. We had a family that asked for their check back that they'd given in the offering. Actually, they stopped payment on it. So Gay calls him and says, you didn't have to stop payment. You just had to ask. Everybody's going, who was it? None of y'all know. Thank you very much. The point is, once this takes root, it can bear fruit no matter what the ground is. God doesn't care. You're not going to like this. God doesn't care about the condition of the soil. He's throwing the seed. And when you, listen, that should make total sense to you for those of you who've been around here for a long time. God's not concerned about the soil. He's wanting to throw the seed because he knows that the seed will take good in the soil because the soil recognizes it's not about the soil, it's about the seed. Do you get it? The seed is the gospel, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, fully, totally him and nothing that we could do. He did that as bad as our soil is. Jesus did that for us because that's how powerful the seed is. So God doesn't care about the condition of the soil. The harsher the soil, the harder it becomes to get a crop. I get that. But you can still get a crop. Do you hear me? There are people who are hard and mean and ugly, and you prefer that they die and go to hell. I get it, but let me tell you something. That same soil, when the gospel of Jesus comes in and says, buddy, I don't care how bad you think you are. Jesus did it all for you. He loves you with a love that you've never understood, and they start understanding that love. As bad as their soil is, something can grow up and out of that. I've seen it happen a million times, and I've seen it offend so-called Christians a million times too. Stop being offended by somebody accepting Jesus' love just because their soil doesn't line up to the way you think their soil should. Yeah. Oh, man. Let me just show you one of the greatest proofs in the pudding. I'm going to use the Bible this time again, John. Some people will say, doesn't say that in the Bible. Well, it's in the Bible. Right here. Here it is. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched zitzia. If you want to learn how to say that, zitzia, man. I'm sound like I cussed you, didn't it? Parched in the zitzia ground. This is a prophetic word from Isaiah 750 years prior to Jesus. This prophecy is about Jesus. In fact, if you read the rest of the scripture, this is where it says, he was bruised for our iniquity, he was chastised for our, we know that part. This is the beginning of it. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, not an appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. And again, if you just keep reading, it goes on to the prophetic word about Jesus dying on the cross, and we all know that part. I want you to stay right there. That word, zitzia, it means dry desert. It means concrete ground. Out of concrete ground. Ground that had no way to have any kind of harvest out of it. Out of that ground, Jesus came. And we have the audacity to say that other people can't because of their ground looks so stinky. It ain't about the ground, baby. It's about the seed. So, this soil shouldn't have given up a crop, but it did. It gave us our Savior. Jesus spent most of his time in bad soil, the worst of sinners. Jesus spent most of his time. There's a lot of places, a lot of churches that just want what they think is good soil. But Jesus spent time with bad soil, the worst of sinners. In fact, the good soil people said that he was hanging with scum. But God's confident of the power of the seed, so wherever it falls, it doesn't matter. He's not looking for where it falls. He's looking for the harvest. And it's the harvest that he's looking for. So, Jesus then explains this parable. And this is where we start. Now, show me the picture of the birds. Here's the picture of the birds coming up right in here. See that? You see those birds? You know what they're doing? They're eating soil. Now watch. Go to the scripture now. This is going to be hard for them. And I sent them like 11 pictures in the Word. So can you knock the birds out so we can read it? There you go. Now listen, Jesus said, to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. And then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Okay? So look, on this footpath, this is where people walk all the time. But listen, that's part of the scattering. It don't matter. The seed's going everywhere. That farmer is casting it, and it don't matter where. It's going to land. All right? So what you need to understand is the seed is always good. It's the ground that's hard and dry. But the seed's fine. And those who have been walked on, those who have been what I call law thrashed. What do I mean by law thrashed? It's not just the Ten Commandments, guys. What it's talking about is any time that anybody tells you you got to do something to earn your way to Jesus, that it's up to you to do something, because when it's up to you to do something, that takes away everything that He did. It's not up to you to do anything but believe. For God so loved the world that whoever believes, not does, whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. So, those who've been walked on, they're unreceptive and they're harsh and they're familiar with the seed, but they have no use for it. Them evil people, you know. But I got to show you another picture. Show me that next picture, and I hope it's the right picture. I hope they got these in order. Yes, look at that. There's some growth coming up out of that asphalt. Holy smoke, that can't happen. Squirt that, get that out. Where's the Roundup? Where's that Christian Roundup so we can stop that from happening? You get it? Oh, it's a tough soil. Oh, but wait, there's one more picture I want to show you on this one too. Look at this. Oh, no. Go to there should be a flower one before that. There it is. Actually, I messed up. This is for the rocky ground. But I just want you to see the flower, because even in the midst of the rocky ground, you can smile. Yeah, a little sunshine. Look at that, right in the middle of nothing. All right, sorry, I blew that. So let's keep going here. So now we're going to the rock dirt. Back up to the rocks. There they are, right there. There he is. There's your rocky soil, nasty old rocky soil. And here's what Jesus said about this nasty old rocky soil. He said, so some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And other seeds fell among... Whoops, let's stop there. Oh, this is what I'm looking for. The seed on the rocky soil, Jesus said, represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last very long. So they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So this rocky soil, the dirt looks good, but it's thin-skinned and it's offended easily. See, things grow real quick, but they dry real quick, too, when the heat comes. You know, I love you, Jesus, and then you can't pay your bill. And so, Jesus, you don't love him no more. See, shallow roots that have nothing to draw nourishment from. If you, it's enthusiasm with no faith. And what I mean by that, and I'll pay attention to this because it's important. When I say no faith, everybody has their own understanding of faith. Again, the word faith in the Greek language is pistis, and it literally... honestly means belief in what Christ has done on the cross. So we can have enthusiasm because Jesus, when we accept him into our life, man, there's that feel good that happens. Did we not all have that at some point? You know, it's like, man, you just want to tell everybody about it. You don't care about your friend because you just, he cleanses us, and we sense that and feel that. But then what happens is we don't get past that to have any faith. Faith of believing that what he did on the cross is true, believing that it's not about me having to line it up, because what happens is you ask Jesus into your life, and then you got friends that begin to tell you how you're supposed to do this Jesus life. And your friends are like, you can't do that. You can't do that. I told you this story about when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man. And it was legit. It was legit. And I was kind of the outcast of the youth group at the time, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, so they actually invited me to pizza that night. First time that they invited me to do anything. So I'm like, cool. So I get in my car, I drive up, I get to the pizza parlor. They're all hanging in the parking lot, kind of maybe waiting for me. I get out, I put my cigarette out. True story. And I walk over, I'm ready for pizza. Well, no. See, because then they begin to tell me how I really wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit because I was smoking a cigarette. And so I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I blew it. I mean, I'm good with God. At the time, I didn't know. You know, I thought I was good with God, but I'm good with God, but I'm not good with these people. Get over it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it's enthusiasm, but not having faith and belief in what Jesus is. It's interest, but then there's no desire to go deeper. And what I mean by that is we get interested in Jesus, and man, it's kind of cool what he did, but then we don't want to incorporate him in our life because we don't really see the value in it. I'm here to tell you the value in it is your belief system. It's your faith system. When you honestly believe what he did for you and the depth of the love that he has for you, there's nothing else that you're going to want to have a part of in his life. He is not a big hammer waiting to slap you around. He just wants to hold you. It's really true. Because the seed is perfect. It's that nasty soil that is so bad. So these love to hear the gospel, but they refuse to believe because of the problems and the persecution. There's persecution for believing right. There's persecution for believing Jesus did it all and you ain't got nothing to do with it. Listen, you're going to have friends that walk away from you because they're going to say you are crazy, you are wrong, you have got to line up with the authority of God. You don't got to line up with nothing but your belief that Jesus did it all. And when you believe that, you are free to be loved by him. And when you're free to be loved by him, you'll be free to love people you can't stand right now. I'm telling you the truth. I love people now that I used to couldn't stand. Johnny. I'm just telling you. Oh. Dude, there now let me just give you. Here's a trophy. I got people in my life I call trophies. Guy's been in prison. This man is one of the most loving men I've ever known in my life. And I'm telling you the truth. You are one of the primest examples, Johnny, of a man of God, though you are full of warts and thorns and stickies and rocky ground and hard and dry. You get what I'm saying? You have decided you're the good soil that I'm going to show pictures of. Wait till you see the pictures of good soil. It will blow you away. I'm going to show pictures of the soil, good soil. Because good soil is not what you think good soil is. Huh. Okay, we'll get there. I'm almost there. I'm only like an hour and a half from there, okay? Everybody's like, I'm getting up and leaving. It's kind of like, I don't know if you watched a game last night, the Cowboys, the Rangers. Rangers in Houston, Rangers were up like 3-0. Anyway, Joey Gallo, like in that eighth inning, hit a three-run homer. And about 10,000 people stood up and walked out. When I said an hour and a half, everybody's like, oh my God, do I need to stand up now and walk out? Or I'm just kidding, it's only going to be an hour. Where am I at? Let me get on point here. So, show me the picture of now you can show me that sunflower picture again. I want to show you what can grow. Look what can grow in the rock. Oh, but wait, more so than just a smile. Look at this other thing that grows in the rocks right here. Look at that, grapes right there in the midst of the rocks. Holy smoke. How can you have fruit in the midst of the rock? Because this says you can't. Does that what that really says? That's not what it says. Nowhere does Jesus say that the good soil didn't have any of this. Nowhere. We just like to do it because we want people to line up to our understanding of who Jesus is when we're so messed up. How in the hernia can we? Anyway, how in the hernia, sorry. Okay, so now let me show. Here's the thorny. Let's look at the thorny dirt, which kind of ain't dirt. It's just like a bunch of thorns. Do you have friends in your life like this? Or I shouldn't say friends. You have people in your life. They really could be your friends, right? Okay, so here's the scripture that Jesus, again, he's explaining. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but are all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and by the lure of wealth, and so no fruit is produced. The church is filled with this type of soil because this is the soil that is the closest to producing. But what happens is, this dirt comes the closest to producing an abundant crop, but they tasted Jesus' love, but there's no fruits from the divine orchard. We've tasted Jesus' love, But nothing comes from the love that we've tasted that comes out of our life. The Holy Spirit produces those fruits of the Spirit out of us. Those don't ever quite make it out. Because, well, here's, I call it Bible atheists. You kind of see it a lot right now. Atheist means the rejection of belief in the existence of God. So the Bible atheist for me means rejection of belief in the existence of parts of the Bible. We're atheists. We're worry atheists. We're wealth atheists, where he talks about the evils, not the evils of being wealthy, but the love of wanting to be wealthy. He talks about that very clearly. In fact, Jesus spoke about money about 33 times, not 33%, 33 times more than he spoke about anything else in the Word. And so we're wealth atheists. Or let's do this one. How about hatred atheists? We know what he says about hatred, but bless God, I'm going to hate because I get to. You know, I get to. There's the big hatred right now on social media is Republicans, Democrats, or independents, just whatever your political affiliation, doesn't matter. It's hate. It's spewing. It's hatred. See, so don't tell me. Don't tell me you know Jesus and love Jesus. You're a Bible atheist. You're a hate atheist. Or there's anger atheists. You know what I'm saying? We know what the Word says about anger. You know, well, he does say get mad. He says get mad, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Yeah, and Jesus got mad. Yeah, he did. He got mad. He tore it. Yeah, he did. But he didn't get bitter. He got mad. There's a difference. Bitterness, again, like my, you know, this is my favorite saying. Bitterness is like swallowing poison. Waiting for the other person to die. Good luck on that. Good luck on that. And then there's sexual atheism. Well, I know what it said. You know, I know what it said. But there's giving atheists. The Word's so clear about to give. And that was the Old Testament. Old Testament. How come you want to use part of the Old Testament? This tickles me. How come you want to use, you'll use part of the Old Testament? So, oh man, Ten Commandments, yeah, I'll use that. But that part about tithing, no. But in all honesty, in the New Testament, Jesus said, you need to tithe, but you just need to show mercy and grace and all this other stuff is more important. I get that. So it's in giving. There's love atheists that don't believe the love. And listen, you will never be able to give the love that Jesus anticipates us to give until you've received that love from him. And until you really get that. So I just say all that to say, love, these are those in this thorny dirt that love the freedom in Jesus, but within their own desires. Now, when I say within their own desires, I'm not talking about dark sin necessarily. I'm talking about their own desires of how things should be in life. I'm telling you, I have people in that are affiliated with me that don't believe that I love Jesus and I'm going to heaven because of my what they would call theology, my understanding. And they hate me, and I'm getting it. How many times have I said it? You can't hurt my feelings no more. It's impossible. It is so freeing for that to be true in my life. Because Jesus is all that and the bag of chips. And I believe it. And so you can point your finger at me. Man, you are such a... Yes, I am. I've been called it all. I am. You're right, I am. But he's not. I'm free in that. I am free, Johnny, in the knowledge. I'm just preaching to you today, I guess. In the knowledge of knowing that I can't line up to your... Good night. I can't line up to your expectations. How in the world can I line up to his expectations of perfection? I can't do it. And he knew it, and that's why he sent Jesus to do it. How's that for a new rap song? Get on that one. Write that one down. I'm on Jalen all the time. In fact, I was on him yesterday. Dude, where's my songs coming out of these messages? You know what? You're going to be the first. Watch this, and you're going to see this, and you're going to know this. This is the whole genre of rap in the Christian community got nothing to do with grace. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to come out with some stuff like, you ain't got to do what you think you got to do, that you think you got to do. And all the other, and your Christian rappers are going to be all throwing you under the bus like I'm being thrown under the bus right now. It don't matter. Because you can't do what you do, because he did it done. You got it? Ooh. I was born the wrong color. Oh! I actually do love rap. I'm going to confess it right here. I'm not a country western music guy. I do love rap, and I love blues, and I like jazz, and I love Jesus. Okay, let's go ahead and read the scripture that tells you everything what I was just talking about. Just a real slort, blurp, a little blurpy here. Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in your freedom. Yes, sir, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. And when I say that, again, immediately you're going into all the horrible things. Listen, sinful nature is evil. That sinful nature is the one that wants to manipulate other people. It's not just the big stuff, the sexual sins, the drinking, just don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And then I want you to see the picture of the thorny growth. In the midst of the thorns, here comes this next picture. There it is. Look at that flower. In the midst of the thorns, it can still grow. There's still growth can happen. Doesn't you might throw 10,000 seed and only one grow up, but what if that one is Billy Graham, but you don't want him to be Billy Graham? You get it. So then, here we go, man. We're finally to the point that Jesus was trying to make about we all got to be good soil. And here's good soil, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a picture of good soil. This is it. That's what we think. That's how we are viewed. Let me tell you something. That's how we're viewed by Jesus and by God. But that ain't how it looks. But that's how it's viewed. Because Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, the Word says, and He's ever interceding, which means He's buffering us, if you will, with God, so that only God can only see through His blood-stained glasses. So as ugly as it is, He puts some glasses on, that's what He sees. Because what He's doing, He's looking through Jesus. So that's the good soil. Now watch, here's what Jesus said about it. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly, in other words, legitimately hear and get it, that hear it and understand it, that hear, listen, one of the greatest, I was telling you about how I have trophy people, but one of the greatest things that has happened to me over the last 11 years since I came to the epiphany of it's all about Jesus and not about me anymore, the greatest testimony for me, I've had at least 15 people come up to me after a church service. Some of them, Scotty, your son, I thought he was going to beat me up or something. He run up to me, grabbed me, and I'm like, I don't know why. I get it! I get it! I get it! Because I've been hammering it from every different angle. I told you 1,000 times. I'm not looking for 10,000 ways to do something cool. I'm looking for 10,000 ways to do one thing for you to understand. It's all about Jesus and not about you. But here's what's cool. So he was hammering, and he, one Sunday, got the epiphany. It's like he finally had the V8. You get it. You remember that old commercial? Oh, man, I could have had a V8. It was like, oh, I get it. Listen, I've had 15 people. His was over the top. Because he'd come running at me, and I'm like, okay. I don't know if he's happy, sad, but he's running. and listen, that is the epitome of awesome for me. Because they've heard it. And now they're starting to understand it. And every one of you that have said that to me, I'm like, hang in there, stay with it, because now that you're getting it, you're going to get to receive it more. You get what I'm saying? Once you understand something, once you understand the theory of relativity, whatever that is, I don't have a clue, I just know Einstein did it. Once you understand it, then you can really start getting it and enjoying it. You get what I mean? So here it is. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Man, and boy, the guys, we preachers have run with that forever. Forever, forever. In fact, to the point of saying, if you will give your money, you will become good soil. Yeah, it's such a lie. That is such a big old lie. That's not what that says at all, but yeah, you're going to give me a dollar, that means you're going to get $100 back, brother. If you'll send me $100, Johnny, I'm going to send you a Holy Ghost dollar bill, and I promise you, if you keep it in your wallet, you'll never go broke. Yeah. Or I'm going to, here, my book on getting out of debt. Use your credit card to buy this book on how to get out of debt. All through this scripture, that's got nothing to do with none of that. That's just crazy. And well, we fall into it. We can do it, whatever. So, let me turn pages. I'm getting close here. Here's what I want you to see about this good soil. Jesus never said, didn't say, and it's never been anywhere near said, that this dirt wasn't hard, rocky, or thorn-free. He just said it's good soil. And he said, it's these are the ones who hear and understand, and they produce. You want to see some good soil of some great growth? Here we go. I actually got three pictures here. Here's the first one. Look at that. Holy smoke. A good soil. Look at that good soil. Look at the next one. Unbelievable. Wow. That's how Jesus sees our soil. God sees the green stuff. Jesus took care of all, and in the midst of the rocks, this thing grew. And look at this last one. I love this last one. Look at that. That's, you know, you're familiar with U2, right? Remember the Joshua tree? That's it. Right? This is in Israel, right? And look at the growth. Fruits come from that. That's good soil. What do you mean that's good soil? That can't be good soil. How can it not be? It's producing. Since when do you determine what good soil is, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? So, I have two scriptures, but I wrote this first, and I wanted you to read it with me. Good soil people, warts and all, hear Jesus is the Savior of the world, that He reconciled humanity back to God, and they believe it. And they understand the reason is His redemptive work on the cross, and not because of anything they could do to earn or achieve it. That is good soil. Here's the scripture to follow it up. And again, two scriptures and I'm done. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Jesus. And now He's made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Jesus, our Savior, and He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news, the gospel, the euangelion of what Christ did for us on the cross. That's you, from that position of soil, you can grow great and mighty things. And again, you want some of the biggest fruit on your tree that you've ever seen? It's going to be the fruit of loving those people that you couldn't stand before. I can't tell you the people that have begun to receive Jesus' love that come up to me and they'll tell me, man, this coworker of mine, they've just become so sweet to me. And this other coworker of mine, man, they used to just be mean to me and now they're just kind. And I tell them, really? So you've got 5 coworkers that have changed. 5, John. I told you, my daughter Charity, she used to be engaged to a guy prior to Daryl, obviously. And he came to church because he had to. He was at Assembly of God College is where she had met him. So she was here, so he had to come. So, well, what happened was we started kind of rubbing off on him, right? So, and he was from a church in Denver, Colorado, church of 800. And so he 6 months later, he goes and visits him, and he comes back. He's kind of freaking out. Can I talk to you, Steve? And I said, sure, man. So we go into my office. He goes, oh, my God. I went back to my home church, and they've changed. He said, man, all their, you know, he started doing stuff, all they want is my money, all the, you know, he just give me this whole scenario. And his name was Aaron, and I'm like, Aaron, wait. 800 people changed. That is amazing. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, Aaron, you changed. When you start viewing people, it's because you've changed. It's called the Holy Spirit that resides within you. Listen to me. It's not, you can't do this. You know, I hugged the man who killed my daughter. That wasn't Steve Van Zandt. I'd have killed him. Steve Van Zandt would have killed him with a gun. Dead twice. But that wasn't Steve Van Zandt. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, you know the term in the drinking world. You know, you have, let's go have a drink. Spirits, right? And so you, what happens is you get under the influence, right? And when you're under the influence, that ugly girl, 3 beers later, is looking better. 4 beers later, with a shot of tequila, she's starting to be beautiful. 2 more shots of tequila, you're over there wanting to ask her out. Why? Because you're under the influence. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that person you hated all of a sudden starts looking good, and you keep being saturated in the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit do His work in you and believe in Christ and what He's done for you and the fact that He did everything for you, you can't earn it and you can't do nothing, that the depth of the love that He has for you, and as far as your sins are as far as the east is from the west, not the north and the south, and you start getting it and receiving it, and you're thinking, understand, you're filthy, dirty, not in anything, but Jesus is you're declared righteous because of what Jesus did. When you start getting that, you're receiving His love, all of a sudden that old ugly woman at the bar starting to look a little bit prettier. Pretty soon you're going to be asking people to church that you used to hate. Because they changed? No, sir. Is it because your soil's so good? Don't kid yourself. It's because the seed's so good. Last scripture and I'm done. Philippians, Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian church. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ returns. How can I live a pure and blameless life? You can't. But in Him you are. In Christ you are. Tetelestai, it is finished, He said on the cross. From that finished position, you do life. You're not chasing after God. He's chasing after you. You didn't pick God. He picked you. That's what He says. So, live pure and blameless. May you always be filled with the fruit of what? The salvation. What does that mean? The fruit of your understanding. Salvation, the word sozo. That you may be filled with the fruit of being totally and completely whole, not just saved from the dangers of hell, but saved from all other things that are happening around you, saved from your own stupidity, saved from any kind of disease that could harm you. You're going to walk in the fruit of that salvation, and the righteous character is going to be produced in your life by what? By is the word dia, by the way. I don't know why the scripture says by when it literally means through. So your righteous character will be produced in your life through Jesus. Not through anything you can do, through Him. You hang with Him, you're going to be good. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. You want to give glory and praise to God? It's not about what you do, it's about what you believe. Oh, man. So I'm sure that my good soil looks like the rocks and the thorns. But I'm here and I'm not here to brag other than to brag on Him. But I love people. Listen. I love people I didn't even know I was supposed to hate. I've told you the story. I had a guy that emailed me and with this huge long apology. And this is a true story. I went to my wife and I'm like, would you tell me why he's apologizing? I don't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you the truth. Now it could be I have Alzheimer's or whatever. I don't know. But she explained to me. She remembered. Well, it's about, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I just wrote him back like a real quick, sure, I'm good. I don't have time to hate. That's not because Steve Van Zandt wouldn't love to hate. It's because I really am in this Jesus guy. I'm going to hang in there forever.
Amen. I'm not on Facebook. But Steve is, and he'll send me little things. And there was something he sent me that, to me, just really drives this point home. Because here's the deal. Are we saying that because you believe, you can sin all you want? Did you hear that? No. Because what the truth is that when you love him, when that seed's in you, you produce those things that are in his character.
And you don't have time to sin. Because when you're focused on sin, you're going to sin.
Right.
When you're focused on him, you're not.
If you have to be in charge. But there's a picture. Would you put that picture up, please? John Heyman put this on his Facebook. He said, I pulled through the Sonic drive-thru and I glanced back over to the left, checking traffic, and realized that this elderly gentleman beside the car was sitting outside of his car door, spoon-feeding his wife ice cream, who also looked to be in her late 80s. He draped a towel over her and slowly fed his bride in the heat. And that's what love is all about. No man is ever going to be better than God. No woman, if you guys think I'm being prejudiced, is ever going to be better than God. But this picture reminded me of him, God, how he does us. Because I'm telling you, you can do everything perfect, but life is going to hand you pain. The word tells you that. In this life, you're going to have trouble. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. People you've been good to are going to turn on you if you don't do things just how they want. Been there, done that. The heat is going to come. Old age is going to come. Things are going to come your way. And no matter how perfect or how well planned you are, you need God because life is hard. But I wonder, this picture to me was the most beautiful illustration of why he calls us his bride. Because when you can't do it anymore, when there's heat, when you can't feed yourself, there's not just somebody to feed you. There's somebody to cover you so it doesn't get messy. And there's somebody who's willing to take the heat so you can have a blessing. Nevertheless, I will trust in God. Can you say that today? Nevertheless, I will trust in God. No matter what else comes, I'm going to trust in God. And I don't want you to think, oh, you know, man, they have all the answers. Because we don't. But we have a God who does. And when those hard places come, there's a root that's gone deeper through the Word of God that can withstand. I loved the picture of that tree because the wind had formed it to go one way, but it didn't stop its life-producing quality. There is a seed in you today that wants to produce life. There is a seed of Jesus that says, I'm bigger than that disease. There's a seed in you that says, I'm bigger than hate. There's a seed in you that says, I can overcome your weakness. Ask me and stop trying so hard. Because he's our hope. If I'm my hope, I'm doomed. And for those of you who don't believe that yet, I want you to know that you're going to have the time come. Not because he's mean, but because he loves you. When you recognize, you know what? I don't have all the answers, and I do need him. He'll still be there. He'll still be there, and he'll come to your side when you need it. Stand with us this morning.
Ice cream,
not spinach. When Steve was teaching this message, there's like several people. My heart's just broken for. I want him to know him so bad. And no matter how bad you want him to get it, all you can do is just watch. And sometimes I just watch and my heart is broken because I see the choices they're making today that are going to put obstacles in their way 6 months from now. And so the thing they really want, it's like the enemy laughs because he knows if he can get them bound up and wrapped up in these quick reactive passions, that later he can also, at the same time he's planting that, he'll plant self-hatred 6 months from now and guilt so they won't want to come to him and get whole. And so while I'm praying for these people, I just kept saying, God, your word never returns void. God, your word never returns void. God, your word never returns void. And I want you just to close your eyes right now. And I want you to think about one of those little sprigs of grass. Maybe it's a flower. Maybe it's a tree that came up despite all the adversity. It came up. And I want to say to you today, it's for you. It's for you. No matter how bad you feel you've blown it, no matter how much guilt or shame you have, no matter how many people have tried to stop you and define you, I rebuke people defining you off of you. Let God define you and not other people. In saying don't conform, they're asking you to conform to nonconformity. Get a grip. He's asking you to bloom who you are, the way you are, because somebody else needs you to show them how to hang on and believe. Lord, today I just pray that the seed, the good news of Jesus, will go in us, will go before us, God, will be shown through us, Lord, and that those, God, who've gotten that poisonous word, Lord, remove that toxic roundup from our hearts, that we can just believe that you can do the impossible. And God, I need you to do the impossible in my life. I need you to be that for me, God. Help, God. Help all people today, God. Let the hatred in our nation stop. Let the labels stop, God. Let we truly be one nation under God, the one true God. God, help us today to love. And let us start with you, loving you. I'm just going to give you a minute right now where you are just to begin to pray to him. Thank you. I hear your whispers. Just begin to ask him in right now where you are. God, we just need you right now. Lord, I'm not giving up on them. God, I believe. I believe. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Take us through the hard places, God. Through the soil, God, that the world's put out there. The things that have eroded in the soil, God. Replenish right now, God, with the seed of life. Can you just repeat this prayer after me if you've been praying? Father, today I receive your love because I need it and the world needs it. Help me, Lord, just to believe you can be a light through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You need